Okay, so today I want to go through some examples of what we've discussed yesterday and some shurim beforehand. So again, it's important to have the klalim so then you could apply them to the examples on your own, but one of the dinim we mentioned was that klisheni is not vashal. Klisheni is the kli that has the water or the contents that was cooked in the kli rishon now is poured into another kli. That's the klisheni. I have a hot water urn. I pour water from the hot water urn into a cup. That's the klisheni. However, there are exceptions to this rule. One exception to this rule is what's called yad nichfis. Yad nichfis means that if it's hotter than yad tzeledes. Yad tzeledes is, let's say, between 110 and 160. So if it's over 160 degrees, so that's called yad nichfis. Now, this is a chumrah. It's a chumrah that we treat it like a kli rishon, which means that you cannot put into it anything which was not cooked earlier. Even though it's a kli sheni, but we treat it like a kli rishon. And the chiddush of this is that even those things which are not going to be kali abishal will also be asked to be put into here. But we treat it as a chumrah. So therefore, when you're going to have yad nichvis with another chumrah, it's going to be two chumras together, we're going to be more meikel. But we treat it as a chumrah. Now, there's another exception, which is called davagush. Davagush means when I have something which is solid and it holds in its heat. For example, a potato, pieces of potatoes, or pieces of meat, fish, pasta, rice, kugel. These are all different types of examples of what's called davagush. And when they are hot, yatzaledizba, once it cools down yatzaledizba, then the following din is not negay. But we're talking about where it's still hot, yatzaledizba. I have chalent. I took the chalent from the kli rishon. And now I put the chalent onto my plate, which is a kli sheni. And there are those that hold that the chumrah of davagush continues into a kli shlishi and a kli revi. Doesn't make difference how many kelim it was moved to from one to the next. If it's yatzaledizba, if it's still hot, like yatzaledizba, still 110 degrees, we give it the chumrah of a kli rishon. What are some examples of this? Let's say I have a hot piece of meat, still yatzaledizba, and I want to pour onto it some cold sauce or something liquidy, cold onto it. So by davalach, something which is cold liquid, heating it up, if it will get hot, or for sure get yatz lettuce, if it will get hot, that liquid, amayva on bishul, even if it was once cooked, but it cooled off, now it's cold. So to pour a cold dressing onto the hot meat, that would be an issue. Or the other way around, to take a hot piece of steak, which is still yatz lettuce, and to put it into something cold liquid, that also would be a problem. But for me to go ahead and take hot soup or a hot sauce and pour it over the cold piece of meat, that's not a problem. Once the cold liquid is already in a kli sheni, right? I have the cold liquid in a kli sheni. It's not going to be mevashal, so I mean, pour from the kli sheni onto this cold piece of meat, that's not going to be mevashal. That'll be mutta. How about some people in their chalent, they put eggs, right? So in Yishlaim, it's called chalamada, something like that. So I'll teach Yishlaim a word for it. They will cook eggs in the chalent. Now, these eggs are very hot. So you take out the eggs, and now you want to cool them off. So you want to put them into a bowl of cold water so you're able to peel it. So to put it into cold water is a problem because this hot egg, even though it's going from the kli rishon into another kli, it retains its din of kli rishon and it could cook the water. But if I want to take it and cool it off by putting it under the running water from the faucet, what do you say then? Do we assume that as the water is going against the egg, the water is getting cooked, or maybe since the water is rushing down, it just keeps on moving, doesn't get a chance to get cooked. So that would be mutter. To put it into a bowl of cold water, here you have a dove gush, which has the din of a klirishin, so it would be mevashel the cold water, that's a problem. But if to put it under the running water of the faucet, that would be fine. Now, there are certain spices which were never cooked. So to put these spices on my hot piece of chicken or my hot meat or fish, to pour those spices on, that could be an issue. Which brings us to another discussion which is quoted in Halachovi and Siftes. What's the deal with salt? So now there's salt which is cooked and the salt which is not cooked. Here in Eretz Yisrael, the table salt is not cooked. In America, there are some yes, some not. If you know which ones are cooked, which ones are not cooked. But let's say over here in Eretz Yisrael, where the assumption is that the salt is not cooked. So the halacha is that me'ikar adin, it'll be mutter to put the salt into a klirishin which is off the fire. Because the Gemara says it's so difficult to cook salt. It's like a piece of meat. You need the fire underneath the pot to cook it. However, there's a second lashon in the Gemara that says that salt is very easy to be to cook. And so easy to cook that you can't put it into a klisheni. So me'ikra din we paskin like the shita, that as long as the pot is off the fire, it'll be mutter to put salt in. However, what's brought down in the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, is that tavi alav bracha, if you don't put the salt in, even into a klisheni, you don't put salt in. That was not cooked. The meaning is that we're machmir for klirishin, for sure, klirishin, that we don't put it into a klirishin, which is off the fire, we don't put it into. A klisheni already, there's room to be makel, but again, there are those that machmir even in a klisheni. If the salt was cooked beforehand, so then, you again, me'ikar din can put it into a klirishin that's off the fire, but also there's a tavila bracha not to put it into a klirishin off the fire. The Shmur says, Tavli Zohar, it's a nice thing to not to to put it into the klirishin.
The klirishin is definitely fine.
If it's cooked, the klirishin is for sure fine. If it's not cooked, then already you still find that there is a tavila bracha for someone who won't put it into a klisheni, but there's room to be mekel. Because since the whole thing is a chumrah anyways, so there's room to be mekel. Now, what comes out interesting is, let's say I have a plate of hot kugel, right here in Yerushalayim, you go to Yishalmi Kiddush, they serve Yishalmi kugel, and on the Yishalmi kugel they put a pickle, right? The pickle was never cooked before. So I put the pickle down on this hot, steaming hot kugel, which is yatzaledes. It's the chayr cooking the pickle. So that should be a problem. Or the example we gave yesterday, which was, I have hot cholent on the plate, and I put my coleslaw on the plate, and the liquid, which was never cooked, is seeping to the hot cholent, assuming that it's still yatzaledes. So there are places that want to say that this is an issue because since there's something here that's not cooked, touching the dove gush, I'm assuming you have a thick chalent, not a liquidy chalent, it's a dove gush, or in the first case with the kogel, that's a dove gush, and the dove gush is still hot yatzledes, it has the din of klirishin, it's mevashel, so it should be an issue. But other paiskim say that it's not a problem. Why? Because since you do not want your coleslaw to, you have no intention of cooking your coleslaw or your pickle, and more than that, it ruins it even. You don't want cooked coleslaw, you don't want cooked pickles. So you have tzein mechavin, it's also mekalkel, and also it's not the derech, that's not how you cook pickles, by putting it onto a kugel, or you don't put your coleslaw in the chalent to cook the coleslaw. So you have a list of a tziruf of many different heterim. Therefore, halacha lemaaseh, you do not need to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. What you may have to worry about is, let's say the plate is wet and you want to put down a hot steak or a hot kugel on the plate that's wet with water that you just washed from the sink. So that we once discussed, that water was never cooked before. Here you're putting a dove gush on it. You have to be careful to dry the plate beforehand. Okay. So these, yeah.
Why is that any different than the coleslaw and the pickle?
So over there it's mekalkel. Over there it's also not the derech. Over here it's not mekalkel the water. It's not mekalkel, and maybe you'll have some of the tzerufim, but you won't have all the tzerufim.
Just did enough ketchup, which is not all of it.
So that's the next example I'm going to give.
You shake off the plate, and it's like the.
Shake it off, then, like we said earlier, that'll be fine. If you shake off the plate, whatever's left, that already is fine.
Even though it's not cooked.
Right. Now, what about ketchup on my nice hot chicken, hot meat, or pasta? I want to put some ketchup on it. So, there's interesting machlekes to Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman about ketchup. And the Olam likes to say that Rav Moshe was talking about American ketchup, which is liquidy. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was talking about the Israeli ketchup, which used to be, not so much anymore, but used to be like thick like paste. So Rav Shlomo Zalman held, there's no issue. What's the problem? It's a Dava Yavesh, right? And Dava Yavesh, there's no Bishlach HaBishl by Dava Yavesh, right? The tomatoes were cooked already, made into this ketchup, was cooked. So it was once cooked. Dovi Yavish, the Nobishach Bishl, as opposed to Rav Moshe, who was talking about the American Heinz ketchup, which spritzes and pours. So therefore, he had a question of whether you're allowed to do it or not. The Maaser Rav Moshe came up with another heter. Rav Moshe said, Lachshin Stani. We're going to view the ketchup as lach, as something liquidy. Lachshin Stani, even though we're machmir, that if the liquid cooled off, not to reheat it. But we're machmir as a chumrah. We treat it as a chumrah. Because there are many shittas that hold that liquid, once it was cooked, even though it cooled off, there's no bishul. So we're going to treat it as a chumrah. Davagosh is a chumrah. So here you have two chumras. The chumrah of Nachshon Stani, but the chumrah of Davagosh, and therefore be matzah. So whether your ketchup is the thick ketchup, and therefore there's no problem because it's davyavesh, or you have the liquidy ketchup, again, you have the kula of Rav Moshe that it's two kulas together, two chumras together. So therefore, we'll be making. That's Rav Moshe. Now, there's another discussion over here in the Mishnah Berurah. There's two Mishnah Berurahs. One is on Sif Hey when he's talking about putting the bread into the bowl of hot soup, let's say. It's not dafka bread. It's any baked product. You could put matzah or biscuits into your hot tea. Taking something which was baked and putting it into a hot liquid. So Mishnah Berurah says that if you're going to do it, so don't pour from the Kli Rishon directly into the Kli Sheni. Take it out with a ladle. Scoop it out with a ladle and put it into your bowl. So what happens is you have the Kli Rishon, which is the pot itself that the soup was cooked in. The ladle that I'm taking it out has a din of Kli Sheni. Put it into my bowl, is the din of Kli Shlishi, and that we're not going to be machmer, and you can put your bread into there. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Later on, in Sifkat and Pei Zayin, Mishnah Berurah says over there that if you're using a ladle, so there are those that hold that the ladle, since it's going into the Kli Rishon, has a din of a Kli Rishon, because it was in the Kli Rishon. Bifrat, if it was there, if you left it there as the pot was boiling, bubbling. That's what he says. So Achronim asked that there seems to be a steer over here. In Sivkot and Mem Hey, he's fine with Kli Shlishi. All of a sudden he says that ladle has a din of a Kli Rishon. The answer is very simple, because if you take a look at the Taz in your Yerideya, it's a machlekes, the Maril and the Taz. This halacha of sticking the ladle in there, it gets a Kli Rishon. When does it get a Kli Rishon? So the Maril holds only if it's in there when it's bubbling, boiling. The metzias is that if you take it off the esh, it's going to stop bubbling within 2 seconds or 3 seconds. So it has to be al esh. The Taz says no. Even if it's not resichas, as long as it's hot, yetzaled is very hot, you stick that ladle in, it gets a din of klirish. The Mishnah Berurah is passing like the Maril. And therefore, in Sifkat and Pezayin is talking about over there where it was in the pot when it was boiling. But when you serve the soup, you take the pot off the fire. So that's Sifkat and Memhei. Therefore, it doesn't bother him that you're using the ladle. The ladle is used for, it makes it, so Allah Chalamaisa. If the ladle, if you took the pot off the fire and you're scooping the soup out into your bowl, it remains a kli shlishi. The pot, the ladle, the bowl is a kli shlishi. So can I put my croutons in the kli shlishi or not? So there are two types of croutons. There's croutons that are baked, that will have a din like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Sifhei, where it talks about pas, where the Mishmur says if it's a kli shlishi, you can put your pas in there. So I can put my baked croutons in there as long as I use the ladle. What about the croutons that are the yellow croutons, which are deep fried? So here we have a machlekes. How do we view deep fried? Do we view it as bishul, or do we view it as tigun, which means fried, because it's oil. Oil fry, you fry things in oil, but it's deep fried. So do we view it as bishul or do we view it as tigun? What's the nafkamina? There's no bishul acha bishul, but you're not allowed to do bishul after tigun, right? Bishul after fia you can't do. So if we're gonna view it as bishul, the deep fried as bishul, so then there's no problem. I could even put it into my klirishin off the fire, the croutons. But if we're going to view it as tigun, so now we have a shayla of a chumrah of not doing bishul after tigun. So then already the question is, can I put it into my soup or not? So this is a machlek, is how we view deep fry. Now there's another question over here. Does kli shlishi help or not? Now let's assume that it's tigun, and I'm doing bishul after tigun. Does kli shlishi help for this or not? That's another question in the paiskim. Many paiskim hold, once it's in a kli shlishi, again, it's no problem. So if you took my soup out with a ladle, and my soup is still yatzaledes, according to those paiskim, I could put the croutons in there. If you machmir like the paiskim that you, even in a kli shlishi, still you shouldn't do bishul acha tigun, so I have to wait until it goes down to less than yatzaled. That's what we'll come at. Now that takes us to another discussion over here. This is a very interesting machlekes. We have what's called kalei bishul. Kalei bishul means things that get cooked easily. Now I want to divide it into two categories. There's the category of those things which I don't know if it gets cooked easily or not, but I need to be choishish that perhaps it's getting cooked easily. And there are those things which are einenu rois. My eye sees it getting cooked. I see the cooking process happening right in front of me. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Sefer Nesivah Shalom that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and the Chazon Ish, and many, many great people learned that the difference between Sif Dalet and Sif Hei are these two things. Sif Hei is talking about the Chumrah of the Sefer Yireyim, which is that I need to be Choshish that this is Kalei HaBishul. Any item which the Gemara doesn't tell me Mefurish that's not Kalei HaBishul, says the Mishnah Berurah, I need to be choishish that perhaps this is kalei bishul, and therefore it's also for me to put it into a klisheni. Sifdal is talking about a case of kulya sespanim dag maliach, where I see the change happening right in front of me. It was too salty to be eaten. I pour the hot water on it. Now I can eat it. It happens right in front of me. Another example is the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Lamed Tes, the Aruch HaShulchan Sif Chav Ches. on the din of Kol Yisrael spatter and brings tea. Says, I see it being cooked right in front of me. The cup of tea now is getting colored. That's how you cook tea. You don't eat the tea leaves, but you cook the tea by taking out the taste and putting it into the water. It's happening right in front of me. So what's the difference between Sif Dal and Sif Hei? The difference is as follows. In Sif Hei, we say, you're not allowed to put the Kalei Bishul into a klisheni. That's anything which I don't see the actual Maisa cooking happening in front of me. I just have to be chayshish for it. I'm not allowed to put it into a klisheni. But can I pour onto it from a klisheni? Or could I put it into a klishlishi? Yes, I'm allowed to. Therefore, pass which was fully baked. I put it into the soup. I don't necessarily see that it's getting cooked, but I have to be chashish, says the Iran, be chashish, that perhaps there's a cooking happening. So to put it into my klisheni, I'm not allowed to. Says Mishbru, but to put it into your klishlishi is muta. And who it then is, if I would take the soup from a klisheni and pour it over the pass, will also be muta. But in Sif Dalet, where a nenu rois, I see that it's getting cooked, makes no difference. There's no chili between klisheni, or it's a iray from klisheni, or it's a klishlishi. Makes no difference. When it's a nenu rois, when I see it being the cooking happening, then even if it's even a klishlishi, will be aser. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chaznish hold that making tea doesn't make a difference. Klisheni, klishlishi, klirvi. If it's yatzel edizba, it's also to make your tea. So if you didn't prepare your tea scents from before Shabbos, you cannot make your tea. Rav Moshe in Chelik Dalet, Simon Ayin Dalet, by Bishul Ois Tezvav, he argues. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Says this whole chumrah of not putting something into a klisheni, not to put Kalei Bishul into a klisheni, is dafka by klisheni, not by klishlishi, which agav is a chiddush, because the whole makar is the Urayim, and the Urayim says mefurish not to put it into a klishlishi either. Okay, he says I don't know where klishlishi came from, there's no problem with klishlishi, you can put it into klishlishi. And you should know the taina that the Aruch HaShulchan says that I see the tea getting cooked. How do you know that's cold cooked? If I put it into cold water, the same thing will happen also after a while. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, that's not cold cooked, and a klishlishi is not cooked, and therefore if you want to make your tea, and you have a klishlishi, so if you take your water from that water, and you put it into one cup, and then put it into a second cup, even though it's still yatz lettuce, you can make your tea in the third cup. That's the way that's where Rav Moshe learned. Now, there's actually another mahalach from Chaim, which maybe we'll speak on a different shir. But this is a big machlekes. This comes out of a big machlekes. Comes out of machlekes that we have a chumrah of Kalei Bishul and Klisheni, which is dafkan a klisheni, but irif and klisheni and klishlishi should be muta. But when it's a neinu rois, that it's bimis bashlois, do I have a het of klishlishi or not? The Mishbrura, or Hashocha, many great paiskim held that if you see again cooked, then it's asa. As opposed to Rav Moshe, who held that no, once it hits a klishlishi, there's no bishul and you don't have to worry about it. Again, the general minig in many places was like Rav Moshe, and therefore they were makel to make tea in a kli shlishi. But again, you have to keep in mind there are many paiskim that we follow often that held not like that. So, if one wants to be machmer and to prepare the tea scents from before Shabbos properly, which we'll discuss in a later shiur how to do that, so then that would make sense. But otherwise, they could be semichon on Rav Moshe, and that was many people were followed. Okay, so I think that's where we're going to stop here. Right, so in either in the next shiur or a later shiur, We're going to go through coffee and tea, all the possible issues that there is with coffee and tea, and your cocoa, and your instant potatoes, and your tradition soups, and whatever other examples you want to throw out. We'll put together all our ideas and try to work them out, okay? Everyone.